currently the restriction they may face, challenging of consolidating real estate sectors. With all of that into one, they set a 5%. Is 5% sufficient, Andrew? Yes. Why I say that is their goal at the beginning of this term is to make sure China can achieve the urbanization and the modernization. That 5% will help them to achieve that goal, no problem.
You're listening to IBKR Podcasts. Find more conversations at ibkrpodcasts.com. Please remember, any trading discussions are for information purposes only and are not intended to portray recommendations. Please listen to further disclosures at the end of today's episode. Now, welcome to our show.
Welcome to this week's podcast. My name is Andrew Wilkinson. During March, the National People's Congress and China Development Forum concluded their discussions about China's economy. Here to discuss the implications of those meetings is Xiaolin Chen, Head of International at CraneShares in London. Welcome, Xiaolin.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for having me on your channel.
This is your first time on IBKR Podcast. A huge welcome. Let's get straight into the discussion. In light of those latest pivotal developments, how do you think such discussions are shaping investor sentiment and market dynamics in China?
Right. Thank you, Andrew. I think March marks a very important time for this year, particularly this is the second year of President Xi Jinping's third term. This NPC, National People's Congress and China Development Forum, just concluded in this month in March, is a very important meeting to reassure investors globally what are the key agenda for the Chinese policymaker for this year and years to come. This obviously get a lot of spotlight from global investor stance. To me, my take on first, the NPC, the National People's Congress. Premier Li has clearly stated the GDP growth target for China is set around 5% this year. Him and his team is aiming to create new jobs of 12 million. Okay, he's going to create new jobs for 12 million people. And right around the physical budgeting, they are planning around 3% of GDP as a physical budgeting. They also stated that they're going to issue or started to issue 1 trillion RMB bond for ultra-long dated bonds to support the economy to start with. That's the key. If shall need it, that indicate they are ready to issue more bonds. Lastly, and most important is they continue to commit it from what they committed last year is make sure all the policies that are centered around for corporates, either state-owned or private corporates, are very accommodative for them to grow. That, to me, is one, economic is back to front and center to the Chinese policymaker or government's agenda, number one. Number two, liquidity, physical, monetary policy are all going to stay very accommodative. Lastly, and most important, they're willing to do everything they can to support the economic growth. So following the NPC concluded middle of March, they're now hosting the China Development Forum, which not only they invited domestic policymaker ministries to attend, they also invited people from around the world, like CEOs, top CEOs that have business or doing business with China to attend. At the moment, the take from the visitors, namely the big bosses of other corporations from around the world, their take, if I may use maybe Apple CEO Tim Cook's comments that he made yesterday after he attended China Development Forum. He says, China is really opening up. I am very happy to be here. I think he really shows that China is setting a very pro-market, pro-growth, pro-international investment environment for all the corporates to come back and continue to stay invested in China.
Xiaolin, 5%? Do you believe it? Mm-hmm. Do you think that's attainable? And why or why not?
5% is, in my opinion, they can beat that target, no problem. The reason I say that is because of one, liquidity is so sufficient. There's trillions available liquidity in the system. Liquidity is not an issue. Policy stay accommodated. Grow at 5% is not going to be very challenging. In my opinion, that 5% set at very conservatively. The reason for that is China be aware of at least two or three key issues. Namely, one is this is probably the biggest election year in the world this year. So they factor in a lot of geopolitical potential issues or potentially uncertainties that they need to figure out who are their partners or counterparts, on the other hand, to deal with. So they factor in a lot of the geopolitical uncertainties around that. Second, they don't expect any restrictions challenges being put on China in growing certain sectors, EV, semiconductors, to be removed immediately. Domestically, they also face continuation of real estate sector to continue to consolidate. So they factor in externally restriction, domestically the restriction they may face, challenging of consolidating real estate sectors. With all of that into one, they set a 5%. Is 5% sufficient, Andrew? Yes. Why I say that is their goal at the beginning of this term is to make sure China can achieve the urbanization and the modernization. That 5% will help them to achieve that goal, no problem.
So given the directions from the MPC, which sectors are most attractive and how can investors capitalize on them?
Great question. One terms get mentioned or repeatedly mentioned or get picked up by media right after MPC concluded was President Xi's speech mentioned a new productive force. Everyone was trying to figure out what does that really mean as a new term. Very clearly, is along the theme of the two key theme: one, urbanization; second, modernization. What sectors will help China to achieve that? Namely, one, clean technology, hydrogen technology, solar panels. I think we all know, your audience from your channel also know, 95% of the solar panel produced today worldwide are from China. Okay, those manufacturers are from China. They are very much front and center in driving green, clean technology, which you want them to be, because they are the largest emitter in the world. They have to lead by example, set by example, let those corporate deal with the challenges first, then they can really sincerely deal with their carbon issue. Electrical vehicle, China is the largest EV car maker now. They produce the most, they sold the most, they also bought the most. I think those sectors continue to be in favor. But there's another policy that repeatedly mentioned at MPC was come forward for the consumer goods exchange program. What do they really mean by that? If you have an old TV used for 20 years, you don't buy a new TV. They say, come forward. Obviously, we'll price your TV at reasonable price. We exchange you for a new one, okay? Or a car. You have an old petrol car. You want to change to a new electrical vehicle car. Come forward. The compensation gap will be a lot less if no such program in place. Okay, they probably value you at a reasonable value. They reduce a bit on the electrical vehicle cost, so the gap, the difference you pay, is marginally manageable. A lot of those programs in between. So I say consumer-related sector, consumer power, would be the next one to watch as a sector to benefit from this round of economic growth.
What approaches should investors adopt to diversify their portfolios amidst the evolving investment landscape?
That's a great question, Andrew. I think China, we know, is the second largest economy in the world. We know the economic importance the country has to the rest of the world, number one. Number two, it's still a country that is emerging country. It means there's a lot of educational, such as your channel, is very important to your investor to provide that kind of information, educational purpose for clients and investors globally to understand that culture, why you do MPC, why MPC is important at all, right? And then how can I benefit from such, which I really like the flow. So how you benefit, to me, is the second largest economy in the world, like it or not, we got to have a leg in, okay? We may not put all the eggs into one basket. We should have some exposure to it, to China. So you know, when the country start to get back on their foot and start to rebound, you have some exposure to those companies, those sectors that we just discussed early on. Electrical vehicle, clean technology, and consumer play. I'd say those three sectors. A lot of people say, oh, that sector, that theme. In China, those are the theme last for decades. In many ways, that when you allocate to China, of course, if you have a benchmark, you allocate to beta. If not, as an investor, I'd strongly suggest to say some of the interesting theme happening in China. As an investor, I want to get exposure to it. Like I see some of the Chinese car maker made their footprints to the UK today. It's lovely to see them exhibit their car in the shopping mall. For us, now they come to our doorstep, is in return, we should benefit from that revenue they're generating from ours by us investing in those stocks. So I say, keep a leg in, be diversified, be more exposed to the sector that is materially matter for this economy to mature, to continue to grow. And also, it's the Chinese policymakers' favorite or pro sector for the growth of the next year, if not decades to come.
Sharlene, China's got a big focus on green initiatives and sustainability. What are the emerging opportunities for investors there?
Absolutely, yes. The reason I say that is it's very rarely for an economy that is growing dramatically, at the same time recognizing the environmental challenge it has introduced to the world, and also very proactively dealing with those issues at the same time. Though China is the largest CO2 emitter as a single country, they're also the largest country that remain and stay very committed financially to deal with the problem. I give you one example. China committed over $500 billion last year to deal with green issues, okay? European Union committed $526 billion across 5 years to deal with a similar issue. So I just show you as a financial availability that China's remain committed, continue to grow. So this issue is at front and center. That's why when you invest in this green initiative, I strongly say that there's a huge opportunity happening in China because the needs, they are number one polluter. Second, because the financial support or the corporate guard, they are incentivized to continue to develop the technology, continue to drive for the innovation happening in their sector. Therefore, it presented very fascinating investment opportunity. Like in the EV sector, a lot of the names in China, I think, well known today, that they are really the number one smart car, worldwide to be sold. And I mentioned clean technology. Remember, I live in the UK. Many, many decades ago, we export waste, rubbish, okay, mess to China, let them process. And then suddenly they use that 10, 20 years to exercise such in a very advanced technological way. Today, guess what? Those Chinese companies are number one waste process company. They use technology. Now we need to pay them a lot to get our rubbish recycled. Those companies worth well consideration. And water, such as like a hydrogen, China produced the most clean technology worldwide in combination of any other countries and regions altogether. So I think green is the focus from top down and also the bottom up that present a lot of fascinating opportunities in these sectors.
Jialin Chen, Head of International at Crane Shares in London. Thank you for being a very enthusiastic guest. I feel so much more informed about what's happening in China as a result of our discussion today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Andrew.
So as always, listeners can learn more about an array of financial topics for free at IBKR Campus. Follow us on your favorite podcast network and feel free to leave us a rating or review. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening to IBKR Podcasts. As always, we have more episodes at ibkrpodcasts.com. And if you're interested in learning more about interactive brokers, visit ibkr.com. We offer more trading education material, such as webinars at ibkrwebinars.com, financial and economic commentary at tradersinsight.news, market-related courses at tradersacademy.online, and quant-related articles at ibkrquant.com. The analysis in this material is provided for information only and is not and should not be construed as an offer to sell or the solicitation of an offer to buy any security. To the extent that this material discusses general market activity, industry or sector trends, or other broad-based economic or political conditions, it should not be construed as research or investment advice. To the extent that it includes references to specific securities, commodities, currencies, or other instruments, those references do not constitute a recommendation by IBKR to buy, sell, or hold such investments. The material does not and is not intended to take into account the particular financial conditions, investment objectives, or requirements of individual customers. Before acting on this material, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and is necessary to seek professional advice.